98.5 The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. All dry right here in Greenville and Clemson, the upstate of South Carolina. Their team really is amazing. These are friends of mine. These guys I know. And so I sat down with them and talked about, like, how does it work and what does it do? And Stan explains to me, like, this process begins with evaluation of the damage. And these professionals come in, and this isn't their first rodeo. I hope it's your first rodeo. You don't have to, like, extensive water damage. I had a buddy of mine that bought a house and sold a house, and both of them got flooded in the same week. Burst pipes did that. A buddy of mine in his business caused, like, unbelievable extensive damage because of this. So it'll be an evaluation process. The phone call is going to come in, and they're going to get back with you, and they're going to get their ASAP. And then it is this timely and proficient solutions. They're going to put this thing to bed, and they're going to get you right and get it done and put this thing out of your misery. So if you are a homeowner, a business owner, if you're a property manager, if you're an insurance agency, knowing this, like, these people know who to call now. Do this. There's a 100% satisfaction guaranteed. They're not going to use subcontractors, by the way. So sometimes I've done this before. I had a buddy of mine owned a business, and we put this thing in the house, and it didn't go well. And I go back and goes, well, yeah, our sub messed up on that. These are guys that are my all dry guys. Right, these are all dry guys that are going to do the job and do it right. You're not going to get somebody else doing it for you, and it's going to be done right. Call today, or call when it ever happens for you. Remember, myalldry.com, 864-863-1234. You can remember that, 864-863-1234. And I could do my best, Matthew McConaughey. All dry. Go and see my friends All Dry when mold, when water damage happens. If it does happen, these are the folks. No doubt about that. Full recommendation on these guys. To his home away from home, I think he's in Hartsfield International Airport in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, Roy Philpott, ESPN play-by-play voice. Did I get it right? You in Atlanta?
Yeah, we just arrived here at B Concourse trying to figure out where I'm going. but yeah, second home, no doubt. And it's a pretty popular place this time of year, apparently. There's a lot of people traveling right now, Mickey.
When you walk in, they say, hey, Roy, how you doing? Good to see you again.
No, and I don't want them to, you know. Yeah. We're good with that. But it's not a bad airport, like, in all honesty. I think it's the most efficient airport on the planet. So, like, people that complain about it, in my opinion, like, they really don't travel a lot, because if you go to O'Hare, you go to LaGuardia, which is not bad. It's gotten better. It's been renovated, or, you know, just anywhere else. They get planes in and out of here as efficiently as any other airport I've ever been to, so it's not bad.
So was it a drive this morning to Atlanta and then flying to where?
No. We flew down from GSP.
Okay.
And then flying to Memphis.
All right.
Land in Memphis about 9:20 local, and then have to bust it down to Oxford to meet Pete Golding at 11:30 local. So it'll be, after we hang up the phone, it'll be pretty hectic getting on the plane and then trying to get to Oxford in time.
All right. Have you met with Pete Golden? This is a new deal for him. Obviously, if you're meeting with him, it's going to be with a whole different situation. Well, oh, by the way, just to remind folks, you're doing ESPN Radio. I've got some questions about that for college football playoffs.
Yeah.
with Ole Miss and Tulane. With that said, do you know Pete Golden? You met with him in the past?
I met him maybe one time at Alabama, I think. I think that's right. I know he's been at a bunch of different spots. We've met before, but I have no, like, real relationship with him. He didn't know me well. I don't know him well. And it is different. Like, when you mentioned we're calling a game for ESPN Radio. By the way, I texted upper management last night. I said, hey, is the Ole Miss Tulane game on 105.5 this weekend? And it sounds like it's not, but we'll be on ESPN Radio. It's different because I'll just kind of sit in on the TV meetings later today, this morning, with Jesse Palmer and Joe Tessitore, and they'll kind of run it. And then I'll get maybe a little couple minutes at the end to ask my own question. So it's different. It's less stressful, I would say, when you're doing it on radio. I don't want to say it's more fun, but it's definitely different, and you can kind of, you know, there's just not as much planning and as you know, all the production meetings and everything on the radio side, because it's kind of a nuts and bolts thing. You know, you're calling down distance, you're reminding people to score, you're trying to paint a picture, as opposed to TV. It's just a lot of moving pieces with that.
Well, it's a totally different deal, and we mentioned this many times before. The folks that don't realize it or thinking about it in TV, you lay out a lot, you let the picture tell the story a lot. You're the play-by-play guy is not the most important guy on TV. It's the color guy that kind of explains things. In radio, the play-by-play guy is the guy. Like, he has to tell exactly where the ball is, and that's so key, because you're painting that picture over and over and over. It's two different skill sets, basically. I mean, getting in out of breaks and all that's one thing, but am I right by saying it's almost two totally different skill sets?
I think it is. I mean, I can kind of tell a lot of times when you hear a radio guy that does TV, you know, they tend to kind of overcook it a little bit more with the descriptions about the hashes, or, you know, about near side, far side, and they're just talking a ton. You know, conversely, I'm probably more of a TV guy doing radio,
right?
You know, for this game. So it'll be a little bit of an adjustment for me just to be more descriptive. Like the radio games I've done in the past, I'll tell you, I get done, I'm exhausted. Like it's because you're just talking for 3.5 hours straight.
Right.
And so we get done, I'm just like, all right, yeah, I couldn't have called another down. You know, I'm good now. So it is different, but it's fun, and it's a reward. I mean, it's an honor to be able to call a playoff game on any platform. So we got this assignment. We were pretty pleased with it. You know, it's a big deal for us to be able to do it.
I want to ask you about that game when we have time at the end. Do you know your color announcer this week?
Yeah, it's just me and Sam. Sam, okay, the good guy I've worked with for 15 to the 18 games this year. Yeah.
You're like me. I'm working with Sam Jones. So we got two Sams working
there. There you go.
All right. Let's review last week, because you've been busy. You did the great Clemson, South Carolina call this week. You were in Montana last week. How'd you escape cold weather in Montana? It was beautiful up there.
Yeah, it was kind of balmy when we were there, and I got in a day early. I was able to get in a couple of runs at the Montana Snow Bowl, just north of wherever, Montana, Missoula.
Yeah.
And so got some skiing in, which was nice. And then for game day, it was like 45 degrees. Like, it wasn't bad at all. Where, like, if you look at the weather there now, there's like 130-mile-an-hour winds. It's negative whatever. And so we kind of hit the spot at a good time. It wasn't bad. And look, I'll tell you this. Montana, their stadium, the Grizzlies, they had the loudest first and second down defense with their crowd that I've called a game at. It was kind of strange. Like, the first time South Dakota had the ball and the first play from scrimmage on first down, Sam and I kind of looked at each other. I was like, this is really, really loud for a first down play. And they were like that the whole game. So, I mean, I don't know if it's as loud as, you know, Death Valley or Williams-Brice or anything when it really, really gets loud. But it was definitely louder when the opposing team had the ball on first and second down, and they just never, never got quiet in that game. So that was kind of cool, and Montana looks the part. They're a pretty good team this year.
Montana State now. What can you tell us about that rivalry? You know, we see North Dakota State, or South Dakota State, and then North Dakota, South Dakota. Like, it's the creme de la creme when it comes to FCS football. And I imagine, I'm just guessing, these teams don't like each other, all those natural rivalries up there?
Yeah, similar to Clemson and South Carolina, separated by 2 hours. I mean, there were Montana State fans mad at me on Twitter that I called it, you know, one of the loudest places I had been to last week. So that tells you anything. No, it's at the end of the game, we could tell there was a chant emanating from the stadium. We couldn't tell what it was, but like, it was just like dun 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 dun, and it was a bad word talking about the Bobcats.
No,
and they just did it the entire fourth quarter. So that tells you just kind of how nasty that thing is. They don't like each other at all. They're only separated by 2 hours between Missoula and Bozeman.
All right, you did Clemson, South Carolina basketball. It was not a pretty affair, by the way. Neither team played very well. But you had a great call there, and you broke the Clemson, because a lot of fans are mad at you, Clemson fans, because you never call Clemson wins against South Carolina, but you broke that one.
That's not true at all, but I understand.
What'd you make of the game?
Well, it was choppy. I mean, that would be the polite way to say it. But, you know, for Brad Brunell, we spoke to him at length in Lamont Paris shoot around that morning, and Brad was all business. I mean, he knows how important those games are. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you win by 1 or 100. You just want to get a win, and everybody feels better, you know, when you get that win on that side of the rivalry. So, yeah, you know, you feel bad for Zach Foster. Didn't like seeing that. You know, I do think, and I told this to Brad and to some of the assistants afterwards, I just feel like it's a team that's going to be a lot better in March than what it is now. And you know, they're kind of searching for that go-to guy, that one player that you can get a bucket in crunch time. Like, I think Nick Davidson, I think he's got a chance to be a really good player by the end of the year. He's just kind of figuring things out. And, you know, certainly with what we saw with Ace Buckner, let me tell you how surreal it was interviewing him courtside and thinking back to what Greg Buckner did at Clemson when I was in school there and how much he meant to that program. It was, you know, and to see his son now doing that and to call his career high game, that was pretty special. Another thing I'll say, too, South Carolina really missed Eli Ellis in that game. Yeah. And I don't think we got a full sense of what they're going to be. They'll improve, but I think not having Ellis and, you know, probably his 10 to 13 points in a game like that meant a ton. So I think, you know, I like to see them full strength with what, you know, he brings to the table, and maybe that would have kept that game a little closer. But you felt like walking away, Clemson was, you know, 15 to 20 points better. He just couldn't make free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, I got that old feeling one time, or I get it often now when I wake up in the mornings. But that old feeling, you talk about Greg Buckner and Ace Buckner. I saw R.J. Godfrey's dad, Randall Godfrey, play in 1989 in a high school game down in South Georgia. We're going to Clemson, Florida State game, and I'm like, I don't know about that, man. Sam, you got something for me?
Roy, I watched the Montana-South Dakota State game, and I noticed, and I was wondering if this was y'all's decision or if this was just a sight thing. They had you guys, like, just straight up outside on the platform right outside the press box, right? What decision went into that? Because if I'm wrong, you can correct me, but I think they had you guys at on a table to the outside of the press box, right? And you were just out in the elements completely?
Yeah, no, that's a good observation. It ended up being a great shot, and we got a couple of texts from upper management on the TV side about that. The reason we did it was an ABC game. It was the first time that Montana ever had network television there. Oh. And so the guy that controls basically our on-site operations, a good friend of mine by the name of Jerome Ingram, he actually lives here in South Carolina down in Camden, good friend, he made the executive decision 2 days prior. He looked at the broadcast booth, and it was a closet. And you know, we've got like seven people, you know, that all assist in the broadcast, you know, spotter, statistician, the RIC, the guy that builds the booth, you know, me, the analyst. So it's a lot. And he just decided, you know what? It's the first time they've had ABC. We want to make sure we get these guys on camera. We can't do it the number of times we want if we put them in this little closet of a broadcast booth. And so he just said, you know what? Let's just move them outside. The weather's going to be decent, and we'll just do it that way. So that's a good question by you. And we got a lot of people that question us on social media. You know, why were you guys outside when there's a broadcast booth? That was the reason, because it was just too tiny, and we wanted to make sure that we had the scenics and the shots for an ABC game, first time ever in Missoula.
Well, I didn't see you on camera, so I didn't know if you had the yellow ABC Sports blazer on.
No, I ain't got one of those, but you know, if they give me one, Mickey, I'll wear it. I'll tell you that.
You need to, man. You need to, for sure.
Yeah.
And weather. So I'm just checking it now for Missoula tomorrow. Is it a game at Montana or Montana State tomorrow?
It's at Bozeman, in Bozeman tomorrow.
Oh, see, I'll check the Bozeman weather here quickly. We'll do that. Hey, so did you have any other games besides what you had? Because you think about it, you had college basketball, you had football on television, football now on the radio. Any other games this past week?
No, that's it. And after this game, tomorrow in Oxford, I'm off until New Year's Eve for the Vanderbilt-Iowa ReliaQuest Bowl down at Tampa. So, yeah, nice break around Christmas. First time in a while that's happened. That's pretty sweet.
Well, see, so I told you every time you go to Tampa, you got to go to Burns Steakhouse. You got to have a blazer to get in. So the yellow ABC blazer would look great through all that. Snow showers in Bozeman tomorrow. Like you mentioned, at 35-mile-an-hour high wind warning there today. Tomorrow the high is 35, but sunny at least. But you won't be doing outside shots or they won't be doing outside shots in Bozeman.
No,
tomorrow.
No.
All right.
No, I don't think so.
All right, final thought. A pregame, something I didn't know. I love the Tulane versus no lane T-shirts for Tulane and Ole Miss tomorrow. I love the fact that it's on HBO Max. TNT and True TV from TV standpoint. But if you don't get any of those, just tune in to Philpott, obviously, there. What are you looking for tomorrow in the Plaza Football Playoff game?
My hunch is this is a vastly different game. They met back in week two. Jake Retzlaff, the Tulane quarterback, really hadn't figured things out with what, you know, Tulane wanted to do. I think the loss of Lane Kiffin, it's hard to put a value on that and what it means, but I don't think it's insignificant. So I think you're not going to see Retzlaff start 0 for his first 11 or what he did. He'll run it a little bit more. And look, it's interesting. You know, Sumrall's been a head coach at two schools for the last 2 weeks, at Florida and Tulane. I think that gives his team this nothing-to-lose mentality that's going to help them in a game like this. I do think Ole Miss is better, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if we're in the third quarter and this is a, you know, one- or two-score game and maybe a little bit closer than what people are thinking. But, you know, we'll see. I think Tulane's got to force an extra turnover or two from Trinidad Chambliss. It's probably one of the best stories in college football this year coming from Ferris State. Never know where you can find that quarterback, Mickey. They found him at D2. It's worked out quite well for Ole Miss. And, you know, we'll see. But I think it's a little closer than the first one. These two teams are a lot different. I think Tulane's a lot different than what we saw that week two game.
I'd agree. Everything there, I'd say watch for Tulane trying to shorten the game, get a turnover or two. That blueprint kind of a thing to stay in the thing. But the other side of it is I think Ole Miss is highly motivated to show Lane Kiffin. The fan base certainly will be, maybe the players there. 45 points against Tulane. I think offensively, like, all right, well, let's put 46. Like, any 45 and a half over that would say, oh, we don't even miss Lane Kiffin at all. You know, take that in the offseason. So, I don't know.
It's That's a great good point. Game. I don't disagree. Yeah, I'm with you on that, too.
It's going to be a great game, certainly tomorrow. Enjoy the trip. Safe flights, by the way. Safe travel. And we're off next week, so I want to wish you, your family, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, man, and can't wait to visit with you in the new season.
Can't wait. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to you guys as well. And appreciate everybody there at 105.5 The Roar. Thank you, guys.
No doubt about it. ESPN play-by-play voice. ABC play-by-play voice at Roy Philpott with the Hartsfield International Airport. Now, one break. We'll come back. We've got two segments and open phone lines. We've got a lot to get into to getting you ready for the weekend. Keanu and Sam and Mickey, much more right after this.
It's the ideal time of year to visit ACD Sports on 123 in Easley. ACD has a great selection of Clemson items for all ages in their Clemson fan shop, plus spirit wear for Pickens County Schools. ACD does team uniforms, company caps and polos, embroidery and screen printing, and can set your team, business, or group up with a free online store with items using your logo. Find out why you should have ACD Sports on your team. Open weekdays 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 5. ACD Sports, Highway 123 Easley, next to Chick-fil-A.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today, and let's build dreams together.
The Greenville Winter Invitational returns Sunday as the Cincinnati Bearcats take on the Clemson Tigers in a basketball clash between two marquee programs. It's a highly anticipated nationally televised matchup featuring a surging Clemson program and a tradition-rich Cincinnati team. Tip-off's at 3 p.m., and you can score tickets today at the GSP International Airport box office or Ticketmaster through game day while supplies last. Clemson versus Cincinnati in the Greenville Winter Invitational, Sunday at 3 p.m.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta-potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Craft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Craft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating vented gas logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Craft Stove Store and Patio, located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylors.
Craft Stove Store and Patio. For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Hartwell Village is your one-stop shopping experience at the intersection of Tiger Boulevard and Pendleton Road in Seneca. With 15-plus retail and dining locations, including Buff City Soap, Rack Room Shoes, Marshalls, Petco, Five Below, Uptown Cheapskate, and Ulta. Dine with friends at Tipsy Taco, Iso Iso Ramen and Boba, Five Guys, Longhorn, or Chipotle. And after a day full of fun, refuel before you hit the road at 7-Eleven. Hartwell Village wishes Clemson fans a happy shopping experience and a fantastic football season. Go Tigers! Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstrapproofing.com.
When you need plumbing and drain services, call Roto-Rooter and get the problem fixed fast. Roto-Rooter is locally owned and operated. We've been making troubles go down the drain since 1935, and you can count on us for reliable service at your home or business. Call 1-800-GET-ROTO. That's 1-800-GET-ROTO or schedule service online at rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for football all season long.
And this is big boy football.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman way over town.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us, little Ray Charles. I learned something about the other day. I learned something. Oh, see, I see what we're seeing it now. We're watching the thing there. I learned something the other day about James Brown. And I did not know this. Well, let me bring in Red on this one. Red Martin, you know the godfather of soul, James Brown, right?
Yes, sir. James Brown. All right. Georgia.
Larry Williams told me the other day, we got this big drummer discussion. Sam, were you in on our drummer discussion the other day?
I don't think I was. I think I would have remembered it and would have been very out of my depth.
All right. So in the end, I found this out, two drummers. James Brown was one of the first bands to do this. James Brown had two drummers. I didn't know this. I thought it was this 38 special. It was the Allman Brothers did it. A couple more other people did it. But how about that? Two drummers and for James Brown, Godfather Soul. Didn't know that was the case.
They could one. Mickey one couldn't keep up with his dad's moves.
Yes.
That's why they had to
yes. What a talent, man. What an absolute talent. All right, I need this from you. You sent me an awesome text last night. We were honored to be able to team with you guys on the fundraiser yesterday. Got some good news for us?
Yes, sir. So, man, I've been crying all night.
How do you get through it?
I tell you, so I cry all the time, but this is just amazing. Through the Roar listeners, they raised over 11,000 $11,351.40.
How about that? $11,351.40. I love that.
Yeah. And that's Walt kept saying it yesterday. That's a life changer for these families and these foster kids. So we're just so thankful for the Lord. Yeah, I always tell you, Mickey, if it wasn't for you taking that phone call today.
No.
These lives wouldn't be changed like they are.
No, the deal was if you didn't pick up the phone that day, you know?
Yeah.
I think about that all the time. My wife and I had a long discussion last night about the idea of what we talked all about yesterday, of kids not having a Christmas. You know, you talked about how before. I told my one about your mom turning the lights on. And that's your Christmas present. I love that one. But you know, how blessed so many of us are. And so I am not surprised by that number. You know, there's some. I'm even afraid to set goals. But like in my mind, I was thinking, all right, if every show can raise $2,000, that'd be $8,000, and that would be awesome. But I didn't mention that on the air. Like that was kind of a goal of mine. And here we are, 11,000. So
yeah,
really close.
And Walt raised over $7,000.
Oh, of course you did. Because Walt is, Walt does a lot of great things, but no one raises money, no one auctions stuff, no one presents the cause like Walt does. That's a talent, man. That is a talent. Matter of fact, if I'm Walt, I'd get out of the radio business, and I'd just go be the auctioneer, the guy that would either shame you into it or like just tug on your heartstrings to get this thing done. Like, Walt doesn't give you an option. Like, you're going to give to this, which is great. Yeah, that's fantastic.
You know, there's comment sections on when you give, and I would say 20 people said, Walt pulled on my heartstrings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So, that's a terrific job for sure.
It's an amazing day, and I can't thank the Roar listeners, the Roar leaders, and everybody that participated yesterday. Cause, I mean, I'm going out to get some gift cards this morning, so they can get a head start on their Christmas.
Great news. Thanks for checking in with us and keeping up with all that. And let us know how the presentation of those things go in the next couple of weeks, because that's some awesome stuff. And I want to thank our listeners as well. Fantastic, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you, buddy.
All right, buddy. $11,000 yesterday. I'm gonna pivot here. Thank you for everybody who gave all that yesterday. I'm going to pivot here. Did you see the story, Sam? Oscar Attaway, South Carolina football player that was one of the two guys that the Texas State Trooper bumped or elbowed. He has filed a criminal complaint. He's pressed charges or trying to press charges against the trooper that elbowed him in the hallway or in the runway, I guess you could say. He wants to hear the cop apologize to him. Nick Harbert declined to comment on the situation. But Attaway claims he's lost sleep since it happened and has consulted a USC sports psychiatrist. Like, what?
Is this true?
According to the Post Courier, Attaway told the Charleston Post Courier, quote, you see this sort of thing on TV, different scenarios of police bullying people here and there.
Well, the cop is a moron,
he's an absolute moron. It said, but you never feel it and understand it until you're actually in the situation. What?
We also don't have the words of the cop possibly have said to the player as well. I think that would clear up a lot of things.
That is true. I wonder what he said, but cop's a moron.
I mean, he deliberately walked in between the two players.
He did. The guy's an idiot.
But the players could they saw where he was and they could have moved as well.
Not just that. He was wrong. The cop was wrong.
Yes, he was.
Pressing assault charges is interesting. That's a heck of a jump.
Yeah.
But hold on. This guy has on football pads. Right? From what we know about it, again, he could have said the most awful things in the world to somebody, maybe. But Oscar Attaway's 220-pound dude. And he's got football pads on, helmet on, shoulder pads on. he's seeing a psychiatrist due to this and losing sleep? Call me crazy, man, but I think that's like a little bit of an embellished. My gut is that's an embellished deal. Is he trying to get a little civil case out of this?
And Harbor left it, you said? Or had just
Harbor
hasn't
declined
on it?
Comment.
I wonder what comes of that. I'm going to keep an eye on that. That's interesting. I thought that story was kind of done when it happened because they fired the cop from game day duties immediately.
I'm making a big jump here, all right? But I don't want my football players so physically and mentally soft that if someone elbows them that I'm losing sleep over it.
Keep an eye on that one. I'll see. Let's see if they take that to court or anything. Should be interesting.
I mean, there's no jury's going to award anything in that.
What a dumb situation. That never should happen to begin with.
What?
But,
let me be clear. The cop's an idiot for doing it. And that was a big testosterone deal. He should have never done it. It wasn't no way, shape, or form. And that's just bad. There's no defending it. But
look, the cop wanted to arrest him there.
I mean, but an elbow and a little verbal deal there, so he's losing sleep over it, and he's seeing a psychiatrist.
I understand if he's had any bad experiences with law enforcement in the past. I get it. I can understand that. That makes that perspective make a little bit more sense. But again, we don't know the history. We don't know any of that.
Yeah, but I mean,
more context to the situation would be
that would be much appreciated.
But we kind of forgot about that.
Who we kidding? I mean, that's butter soft, pal. That's butter soft. Buck up, buttercup.
See if anything comes of it. I wonder if it's interesting that Harbor's not trying to take it anywhere, but Attaway is.
I don't know.
I guess he pushed both. I thought it was more centered around Harbor at the time, but
it was both elbows. Like, yeah, he put both elbows.
It went right through the middle of them.
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, that seems pretty soft to me. I don't know. 654-ROAR, 7627. Texture makes a good point. Victim mentality, regardless. Yeah. No harm, no foul. It wouldn't have got to call it a foul in basketball. A little elbow, yeah, a little shove there. No. Texture hadn't heard anyone ask why the heck he walked into the tunnel. Well, he had a little hamstring deal there. You know, he kind of pulled up with a hamstring, so he didn't want to stop immediately, maybe. But that's not. Texture said, y'all are tiptoeing through this. Tell the snowflake to grow up. That's my gut, man. Like, and if I'm a teammate, I'm like, hey, don't elbow the running back. He might have to. You think he's really losing sleep? You think he really see a psych? Put it this way. If I'm a psychiatrist and I'm dealing with, like, all kinds of people's real pain and real issues, and I got to take time out of a day to deal with a guy who got elbowed and something said to him, like, what?
It draws it into question, but I genuinely think if he's seeing a psychiatrist and if he's losing sleep over this, there's something that we don't know that happened.
We're crying wolf ears, what we don't know.
Yeah.
No, we know that.
There's either two sides to the story. Like, either something really happened or he's just...
But if it had been really awful, then it would have come out the Monday.
That's what I'm saying. How long ago did this happen? This was like a month ago.
What you get? Money? You get what, they're gonna give you 2 points and you win the game 32-31? Come on, man. Come on. Will Muschamp back as well?
I think it's a good hire. I do. I think it's a good hire.
Really?
I do.
More so than PK?
Muschamp's college defenses are good, man. When he's in that role, it's been a minute, but they're good. He wasn't a good head coach, but he can coach a defense up.
All right.
It's a risk, but it's a good hire, I think.
Scoring defense this year, Texas was 23rd in the country. They give up 19 points a game. Over, under. You're saying they're going to be better next year?
I don't know. It's a risk. I like the hire, though. I think there's a pretty good chance they're better, yeah.
You'd rather have...
If they're firing him, if they're moving on because they gave up 20-plus or 25-plus in, like, four games down the stretch, they clearly don't like something there. Like we said in the first hour, there might be a rift between him and Sark. If you're going to hire a college defensive coordinator, I think Muschamp's a pretty good one to go get.
I didn't realize this before we take a break, that Texas total defense-wise... Let's see where they were through some of this. Oh, it's got to be higher than what I'm seeing right now. I'll find it out. But scoring defense, 23rd. What am I missing on total defense here for the Longhorns? 36 in total defense. They gave up 335 yards a game. If you give up 335 a game and 19 points a game, 19 points a game, like, That's fireable? Had to be a rift.
I would think so.
Had to be.
The defense was not the... It was a kind of tale of two seasons, though, for Texas. Because at the end of the year, their offense was pretty strong down the stretch, other than the Georgia game. Arch figured it out. Beginning of the year, defense was pretty solid. Things flipped a little bit in the second half of the year. I don't know if it was fireable, but evidently Sark says so.
Would you say that Texas was better on offense or defense this year?
Defense, but they did get worse down the stretch.
Yeah.
Against some teams, they gave up a lot of points to Florida. They gave up a lot of points to Mississippi
State.
They
held Ohio State to 14.
Very good at the beginning of the year, yeah. So, I mean, maybe it's a what have you done for me lately situation.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a looking for a scapegoat.
37 Arkansas is not good.
Yeah.
31. But it had A&M to 17.
Maybe looking for a scapegoat down the stretch here. I don't know if that was a fireable season for anybody. I think it was just Arch wasn't great at the beginning of the year.
The offense
wasn't great.
Is your gut in is that they had a chance to get Muschamp, so they had to go get Muschamp?
I think that's probably how Sarkisian's thinking about it, yeah. I think if Muschamp has had a lot of success as a college defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. All right, final segment of the week when you come back right after this.
Cigars, cigars, cigars. Tobacco Plus in Greer is home to South Carolina's largest humidor, featuring the finest selection of premium hand-rolled cigars in the state and at the very best prices, too. And select a smooth, delicious Monte Cristo, Rocky Patel or Cohiba, and relax on your golf outing. Swing by Tobacco Plus in Greer, South Carolina's number one cigar store, located at Exit 60 off Interstate 85. Also serving Georgia and North Carolina with nationwide shipping.
Looking to refresh your home without breaking the bank? At Linden Floors, we've got you covered, literally. We're a local, family-owned business that's been bringing beauty and durability to homes across the upstate. Right now, grab our luxury vinyl flooring for just $1.99 a square foot. Yep, you heard that right. Whether you're remodeling or just sprucing things up, trust the team that treats you like family, Linden Floors. Call us at 864-494-4317 or stop by today at 101 Chester Street, Spartanburg, and step into something better. Linden Floors, where design meets durability.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Enjoy elevated living at Sunrise in Pendleton, just minutes from Clemson, starting in the mid-300s. Customized versatile 1- and 2-story home plans with luxury design selections in their 3,900-square-foot design studio. The pool amenity opens next year, along with natural walking trails. Live close to Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi, shopping in Anderson, and enjoy quick access to I-85. Sunrise encompasses convenience and lifestyle in a convenient location. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com to discover elevated living in the upstate.
Hey, Tiger fans, did you know up to 60% of the air in your home comes from your crawl space or basement? If moisture, musty odors, or wood rot are hiding under your house, it could be harming your home and your health. Crawlspace Medic, locally owned and staffed by Clemson alumni, offers honest, certified evaluations with no pressure and no upselling. Protect your home from the ground up. Schedule your free inspection today. Call the pros at Crawlspace Medic.
Looking for expert tree care in the upstate? Call Franklin Tree Service, your trusted partner for quality tree work and more. Whether it's tree removal, trimming, stump grinding, or storm damage cleanup, Franklin Tree Service has you covered. Their certified team is committed to making your yard safe and beautiful. And as a proud longtime partner of the Roar, you know Franklin Tree Service is a name you can trust in the upstate. Affordable, reliable, and fully insured. Call Franklin Tree Service today at 864-947-9065.
You really don't need a special occasion or a special reason to shop Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall. Step inside the state-of-the-art Reed's Jewelers showroom and discover what tens of thousands have discovered. Award-winning customer service, exquisite diamonds for her, elegant Swiss watches for him, and professional expertise from the team at Reed's Jewelers. Jewelry and relationships that last a lifetime. That's Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall next to Belk. Online at Reeds.com.
It's bow time. Two Bojangles steak biscuits for $5 means two times the tender, two times the flavor, two times the country fried, change your life, need another bite goodness you crave. Order yours today. It's bow time.
Coach Dabo Sweeney here from the Clemson Tigers. Just like high schools across the upstate, Clemson fans love football. But one thing I love more than football is my family. That's why we talk to our three children about alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among youth. But the truth is, most upstate youth aren't drinking or using drugs. Remind your teenagers that most teens choose to be healthy and drug-free. Talk to your teens about drugs and alcohol. They will listen. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
The holiday season is here, and Elkmont is counting the days to Christmas with a special sales offering for each of the 24 days of Christmas. Items will be added daily and posted on Elkmont's Facebook and Instagram pages. Elkmont has all the brands you love, like On Clouds, Birkenstock, Extra Tough, Patagonia, Z-Supply, Filson, Columbia, Maui Jims, Costa, and so much more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville and Clemson, or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com. Merry Christmas.
The tree is lit, the cocoa's warm, and the sports talk is rolling.
It's a beaut, Clogging, a beaut.
Merry Christmas from 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Now that's a good one there. That's Stevie Wonder. I didn't know this till this morning. Stevie Wonder was a bass player. I thought he was a piano, keyboard, singer, songwriter. I didn't know Stevie Wonder, bass player, and a very good bass player, supposedly. Little Stevie Wonder. What a talent, man. What a talent. Final segment of the week. Tennessee Tiger checks in 654 Roar. Good morning, Tennessee Tiger. How you doing?
Doing good, Mickey. Good morning. I wish you would ask Philpott when he was doing that game, because I watched some of that game. He was talking about the weather there, was not normal for that time of year in the game. Now, it's, in the upstate, it's going to be like 35 miles an hour wind. Yeah. And I was thinking, Nicky needs to go out and hit some practice balls get accustomed to when he goes back over to Scotland.
That's right.
Yeah. But I wish you'd ask Philpott if he goes to the restaurants around there, I'm sure there was bear meat on the menu.
Yeah.
Right?
I've done that, and they do have – now, mine was not in Montana. Mine was in
Wyoming.
Wyoming. Do have wild game type stuff there. So you're eating bison, by the way. You're eating that on burgers. So you get a lot more of that in the wild game type stuff there. But and just as a side note, too, Philpott sent me a video from one of his colleagues from ESPN that's in Bozeman, Montana right now. From last night, there are 100-mile-an-hour winds there, and he sent me this video, and I hadn't seen anything like that before. Like, that's dangerous. It's a wind advisory today, but a little nicer day tomorrow for Montana and Montana State.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
Now, Garrett Riley, in his coaching career, he's been like 3 years the most at one school. I might be wrong on that, but he coached under Mike Leach, but his offense, from the games I watched Mike Leach coach, it's not quite the same. So I'm trying to understand exactly what, when the question was asked at a press conference with Coach Sweeney about, we're going to run the Clemson offense.
Yeah.
And then, Riley, coached with them. Now he hasn't recruited a quarterback for Clemson, so I didn't think he would leave. Now, I don't have any inside, on it, but I was hoping, he would stay and recruit a quarterback that he wants for his system. And what is Adam Miranda going to do? Is he coming back?
No, he's done. He's done.
Okay.
He's going to Senior Bowl. He's a senior. He's used up all his eligibility. Same with Klubnik. You make an interesting point, Tennessee Tiger. I appreciate the phone call, by the way. Thanks a lot, man. Hope you have a great weekend for sure. Good point. Garrett Riley was asked yesterday about his future here and he made a point like, hey, man, this is a good place to coach. I like it here. My family likes it here. It's a good place to coach. The other point there is, he's not had his guy yet, right? So he inherited Cade Klubnik. Does Riley pay for the sins of Klubnik? Klubnik pay for the sins of Riley? We did this with Mike Shula and Lenora Sellers in there. But how much – and this is something that's – you don't quantify it. And there's different philosophies because it's so subjective. Like, what does he get credit for? What does he get blamed for? What does Cade get credit for? What does Cade get blamed for? Like, there's a lot in there, and it's hard to tell. We're not inside the building, not hard, you know. But I just know that, like, the same thing with Mike Shula, who gets a lot of blame for Lenore Sellers. He didn't teach him to take 43 sacks. Sam, you made a great point off the air earlier. Lenore Sellers has been sacked 75 times the last 2 years. A lot of that's on the offensive line play, but it had to be several of those in that the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback, if you get up there and you got a five-man front and a five-man protection and you got six guys, you got to get rid of the football. Or if it does get bad, especially with the good legs that both these guys have, you got to get rid of the football.
It's his fatal flaw. That's Lenore Sellers' fatal flaw. Yeah. I look at a couple guys who've come out in the last 5 years. Shedeur Sanders' fatal flaw in college was not getting rid of the ball. His fatal flaw in the NFL so far, and that I think is probably going to inhibit him from being a franchise guy, is he doesn't get rid of the ball, holds it too long. Yeah. Justin Fields, all the natural talent in the world, never got rid of the ball, never learned to get rid of the ball. Sacks, regardless of what people tell you, sacks are on the quarterback more than the offensive line to me. If you can get the ball out, you can get the ball out. You can read the field quickly. You can read the field. If you have a bad offensive line in front of you, which Lenore Sellers did, that is a factor, and that is a problem that he can't fix. But he can fix how quickly he gets the ball out, and he can fix how quickly he gets the heck out of Dodge in the pocket if he has to. You got to get down to, I would say, if he takes 30 or less sacks next year, which he did last season, and they won 9 games, he can be successful with the way he plays. He cannot do it taking 42 in one less game.
What's crazy is, and we did this a little bit with Shedeur Sanders, too. One of my things on Sanders is, like, he didn't want his completion percentage to go down because he didn't throw incomplete passes. We might even have a whole separate stat for that, like, how many times did you throw the ball away kind of a thing. With that said, what's crazy is Lenore Sellers is a great athlete. He has great speed. He has great feet. You would think that a quarterback with great speed, great running ability, strong. I mean, he got sacked 43 times this year, 75 the last 2 years. But how many times did he escape from somebody's arms? So the point is that you can't be a good enough athlete to overcome bad pocket presence. You know, there's a great saying that my great people in condition say, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. So you can't out-athlete bad pocket presence.
I think you make a good point, and I think what you and I have talked about a lot this year with Lenore Sellers, and we talked about it going into the year when I was a lot higher on him than I am right now, is Lenore Sellers has more ability to run than just about any quarterback in the country based off of the body type and speed, that combination. I think he wants to stand in the pocket, though. I think he wants to be a pocket guy.
Well,
and I don't think right now he has the pocket presence and the wherewithal to get rid of the ball quick enough to do that. While I respect the process there and how he knows that's going to be sustainable in the NFL, you have to sustain, be able to succeed in structure, all that, he hasn't shown the ability to consistently do that by getting the ball out quick enough. So he's going to have to fix that next year in a Kendall Briles offense, and if he doesn't do that, I don't really see a long-term future here success-wise, because there is no real history of quarterbacks holding the ball forever and succeeding at the college level or once they get to the NFL.
I pounded Tony Morrell on this question all throughout the offseason, and it was, you got to steer clear of Lenore Sellers doing what a C.J. Stroud was doing, what a Shedeur Sanders tried to do. All these guys
use legs.
Yeah, you don't use your legs because you want to prove to the NFL that you're a pocket passer.
Well, and Stroud got the ball out quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Stroud, it wasn't a problem for Stroud.
CJ just processes really well.
That's right. That's exactly right. On the Riley stuff, I mean, Klubnik did have decent pocket presence. He didn't step up enough, I thought, but getting out, and he didn't get sacks. He didn't take sacks. As a matter of fact, let me tell you the numbers-wise, what it looked like the last couple of seasons. He did avoid sacks.
While you get that, I think the thing with Cade this year, while you look up that number, is that we saw it a lot at the beginning of the year, and it's something that I've seen a lot of quarterbacks do. It was clear from LSU on he didn't trust his O-line.
Yeah.
And you don't have a choice. You kind of have to act as if you trust your O-line. He drifted right a lot. Because he's far more comfortable throwing off platform on his right side, obviously, than moving left as a righty. So he was a lot more prone to drifting. And when you drift, you cut the field in half. Guys weren't necessarily open all the time in this scheme anyway. And then he threw the ball away a lot. It led to a lot of lost plays.
So, but by the way, he has sacked 13 times. Lenore, and he went from 28 his sophomore year, 23 his junior. He sacked 13 times this year. You got to give Kate credit for that. Sellers sacked 42 times. So you would have thought there that Klubnik, yeah, there's some negative plays in there by him getting right, but for the most part, he got rid of the football. Sellers took the sack.
He stood in there. I mean, for better or worse, Lawrence Sellers stood in that pocket.
And when he did reverse out, he reversed it the wrong way or it got worse. And then even if he reversed it, he still ate it rather than throwing it away.
Yeah.
I don't understand all that. And second 10 is a bad down. It's a terrible down. But it ain't second 18.
It's a bad down, especially when you can't run to get 5 or 6 yards back on second down to get it back to a manageable third.
But it ain't second 18, buddy.
No.
You know? And there were way too many. Second 18 are drive killers.
That's the big thing for Sellers. If he can speed up his process, I think he'll be a very, very good quarterback. Yeah. It's a question of can he do that?
I get asked this all the time. And by the way, this is my Brad Hughes Allstate Insurance thought of the day here for this. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, BradHughesInsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. I know how better coverage and better rates. Thanks to my great friend Brad Hughes, who does an absolutely terrific job for us. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. I get asked this all the time. What kind of coordinator is, and quarterbacks coach, and developer of quarterbacks is Garrett Riley? And I just don't know the answer to that question yet. Because we've seen him with one quarterback. And by the way, Cade improved.
Here.
Right?
One quarterback here.
Yeah, one quarterback here. I thought who's the quarterback at TCU?
Max Duggan.
Duggan did a great job.
Yeah, Max Duggan, he had he had Hoover at one point.
Yeah.
There's another one I'm completely forgetting, and he's a good quarterback. Who in the world? Chandler Morris. He had Chandler Morris in the same room. So clearly he sees something.
Right.
The question is, if you give him another year and let him, quote-unquote, pick his quarterback, which I think the only one he's picked is Chris Denson, what does that mean for him in offense? I don't know.
And he had to pick that after he liked the kid at Notre Dame, the kid that decommitted to go to Notre Dame, kind of a late take there. My point is, I don't know. He might not be a very good quarterback coach or coordinator. I don't know. He might be a great one. I don't know. How much of it was Cade, the good Cade or the bad Cade? How much credit do you get? You know, too many times coaches don't get enough credit on the good, and they get too much blame on the bad. And so if he is here again or wherever he goes next, as the sample size improves or increases, we'll know a lot more.
Offense clicked down the stretch last year, albeit against lesser opponents for a lot of that. Offense looked good. Cade looked great against Texas last year in the playoff. Undoubtedly regressed this year. So I don't know where to place that blame fully. A lot of it, I think, is schematic and at the foot of the offensive line of Riley.
Offensive line, right.
And I think a lot of it is also Cade. Could have been and should have been a lot better in year three as a college quarterback with the same offensive line.
Totally agree.
Weird discussion, but we just don't know if Riley's going to be back, so it's hard to judge who the next quarterback will be or what they'll look like.
Yep. And in one game, by the way, without Cade that he's seen the last 3 years here, the SMU game, they moved the football a little bit. You know, they had some success with Vecina in the game at that point. Now, again, SMU's defense is terrible. Skip the music, Sam. 2 minute Joe, what do you have for me?
What do I have? If I'm not, I'll be here. I'll be hosting Out of Bounds on Monday, but different audiences, different shows. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all who listen to this show. I appreciate all of you guys on the text line, the phone line. It's been a fun year. If you're there on Monday during Out of Bounds, I'll talk to you guys then, but appreciate you all. Clemson basketball this weekend, neutral site game technically in Greenville against Cincinnati. Cincinnati reinstated Jizzle James this week because they're terrified of R.J. Godfrey, evidently. No idea if Jizzle James will play, if that's Wes Miller trying to save his job, but keep an eye on that. Women's team going into the new year, just coming off a couple wins, trying to keep things going on that side of things. Hopefully all the Clemson teams get wins here in the holiday season. Hopefully Clemson goes up to New York and wins in the Pinstripe Bowl. To anybody going up there, brave the cold, have fun. New York's pretty at Christmas time. Happy holidays, everybody.
Keanu, 2 minute Joe, what do you have for me?
And Jake Paul are fighting tonight. Give me Anthony Joshua. Really? I can't stand Jake Paul.
Really?
Also, I want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you all, and thank you for bearing with me.
Very cool. Very cool. Glad to have you in here on a rare Friday. Eric Newton, EricNewton.com. I know Eric Newton and his company and Jeff Scott and all the good folks there, Jessica and all the great folks there. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's. So go by and see those good folks in 2026. It could be a big year for you for real estate purposes. If you're looking for it in Clemson, the guy to find is EricNewton.com. My 2 minute Joe, Brian Rowe, Jr., wide receiver at South Carolina, into the transfer portal. The freshman had some promise early on against Missouri, 3 catches for 50 yards. He had the touchdown catch there. 19 catches, 149 yards, and a touchdown. But as the season went on, it seemed like it was more of Sellers and less of Rowe. They went with in that freshman class. And of the freshmen out there, maybe this is the one you might would want to leave. Murph had 14 catches. This guy had 19 catches. Jaden Sellers had 22 catches for a pretty promising freshman class. Again, early on, it looked like it was Rowe. Later on, it did not look like his playing time went down. Let me thank Josh Williams. Let me thank Anderson Drake and Roy Philpott. Keanu, great job. Sam, great job once again. For all those that join us on a Friday and all of our guests on Fridays, just a Merry Christmas.
And thank you all for donating to Red yesterday in Oasis of Hope. You guys rock.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. So great stuff there. Up next, John and Faxon, two of my favorite people. Have a great weekend. Most importantly, tune in on Monday. That's when we will see you right here on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.